Welcome, the Automators. I'm David Sparks, and joined by my co-host, Rosemary Orchard. And this is where we talk about how to automate your technology to do your work for you. Hi, Rose.
Hey, David. How are you?
Excellent. Looking forward to this show. We've got a lot of listeners that have written in talking about PKM and automation, and both of us have been playing with it. I'd say beyond dipping our toes, I think we're kind of in up to our necks. But PKM is a great kind of new thought, you know, personal knowledge management. There's a lot of opportunities for automation in there to make it more useful. And we were going to tackle that today.
Yeah, exactly. And it's one of those things where if you're there going, hey, I've heard PKM, I've heard personal knowledge management, what is this? And or you've seen like the idea of it and it's kind of a personal wiki, you might be there going, I mean, I don't know, like, do I really need this? And it's one of those things where I feel like you have to find the right use cases for you and for your life, because maybe you don't need this. But I have found this to just be an incredibly useful like resource for myself. So for example, I have documented some parts of my network setup at home because I have certain things set up certain ways. Like I've got my ISP provider router and then I've got my stuff sitting behind that with my Wi-Fi and everything. And knowing what settings I have set on the ISP provider router, like you think, you know, how important is that? Well, the other day I was having internet problems and because I apparently am the only person in this precise area that works from home during the middle of the day, my ISP was 100% no, this is your problem. This is not an us problem. This is a you personally problem. We're going to send you a new router to fix it. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, I got the new router and I had to set it up and I just opened, in my case, Obsidian, and I had the info there of what I changed and why I changed it as well. Not just so that I could copy paste it over, but because I actually knew why things were there. And that's sort of like ended up being my starting point. You know, what things have I done in my life and why have I done them? So that then if I need to look back at this later for myself or for somebody else, I have that information. And starting with, you know, technical things really is what made it click for me. But of course, there are other people who, you know, like to start with, you know, a little family tree and bits of information about other people as a place to start. I don't know what your starting point for this was, David. I'm sure there was one.
Well, I think you really hit a good point in that I think the like common idea around personal knowledge management is like you're writing your PhD thesis and you want to collect all your research and you've got to have it all organized and indexed so you can do a good job. But I think that's one application of personal knowledge management technology. But there's a lot in just normal life, like you were talking about, just managing your technology. I have a similar one because I have an ancient audio device that's analog, and it has dip switches in the back. And once I got them set right, I took a picture of it and put it in my PKM system. So if things ever get out of whack, I can always just look at that picture and reset the dips. But I also have a note for my dog, you know, and when I go to the vet, I've got a list of the medications she's taken and the problem she's had. So when the vet asks me a question, I can answer. I even have like test results and some PDFs in there so I can just give them to her right there. And you know, there's all of us have these bits of information. I have them with respect to my kids and, you know, we're all responsible for all this information. And as automators, we want to have the information available to us, but we don't want it to become this massive cognitive load to carry it. And I think that's where PKM can step in, especially if you include automation. You can make it a simple thing to create, but easy to access. And that's what we'd like to talk about today. I guess we should mention, though, there is a good friend of ours on the internet who has really taken on the idea of PKM pretty seriously, and that's our pal Mike Schmitz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're a co-host over on Focused, which is a great podcast if people are looking for, you know, the sort of productivity angle for things. You know, MacPower users is how do I technically, automators, how do I automatically, and Focused, how do I productively? And it's a nice trio that you've got there. Yeah. David. It'll be sad then we don't have automators, but that's okay because we'll pull it into MacPower users as needed. Mike has put a whole bunch of things together for this. And I'm also going to link one of his articles, which is an intro to personal knowledge management that he wrote for the Suite Setup, because I feel like that's quite a good place to sort of get started. creative with this. But at the same time, you know, if you've got notes that you reference on a regular basis, congratulations, you have a personal knowledge management system. You just didn't know it. Or maybe you did, but that's okay.
Yeah. And another thing Mike has done, if you really want it, just kind of soup to nuts, he has a product. It's at practicalpkm.com. That's kind of his home for this stuff. And it's practicalpkm.com/lifeHQ, where he's built an Obsidian Vault that is a PKM system that you can just install and have it built for you. So Mike's got some great ideas and thoughts on it. So you can check that out. But there, you know, I think this PKM thing is a relatively new concept. We've had wikis forever, but it seems like in the last 3 or 4 years that it's really become a thing where, you know, normal users have started to think, well, why not use linking and the, kind of this new notes technology to build a system where I can quickly grasp the router settings or the dog's vaccinations. And you can do that. But there's a lot of tools for it. The first time it really came to my front of mind was as Rome Research launched. And that's not a tool that I ended up using. It was web-based. I didn't really care for their data model. But it was one of the first kind of like PKM linked thinking tools.
Yeah. I feel like Rome and Obsidian started becoming very popular at the same time. And, you know, I've always been very hesitant to use web-only things. I guess this comes back from when I used to travel a lot and I was never guaranteed to have an internet connection. And having something that relies on having an internet connection, like, for example, Notion, which is a great tool, is still something that I'm not super keen on because, you know, if your internet goes down or there's just a problem connecting to that website or whatever, then you get into a little bit of trouble because you can't access your information. And the whole point of a personal knowledge system of whatever kind it is that you've saved this information for yourself to use, and not being able to access that is kind of defeats the point of it. So, I mean, I personally ended up settling on predominantly, but not exclusively, Obsidian for my things. But there is a whole bunch of options out there, including just basic Apple Notes, which is really great.
Yeah, well, I would say that both Rose and I are lean towards Obsidian for a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. The data model is really simple. It stores Markdown files on your drive, so you own the data. Their syncing engine is end-to-end encrypted, so you've got some protection, and it is so customizable. I mean, every time you open Obsidian, there are new plugins available, and it's got this very active community. We're in this kind of infancy of PKM tools, and it seems like there's a new one every week, and you want to avoid the new and shiny until they've proven their staying power, and Obsidian has absolutely done that. It's got a huge user base, and it's not going anywhere. But there are others. I think a really nice one is NotePlan. It's a native app for Apple stuff. So if you're on Windows, it's not going to be any fun. But it's a native app for Mac, iPhone, iPad. Yeah, I think it's kind of like Obsidian Lite. It really does have a lot of the Obsidian tools, but not all of them. Clearly not the plugin stuff. It's not multi-platform. But it does save Markdown files to your drive. And if you kind of want that native experience, you're willing to give a few features, that's worth checking out. Apple Notes, like Rose said, I think is hugely useful. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Notion, to me, I don't really view that as a PKM app. I know there's people that do it. If you look at YouTube, there's a whole bunch of people that have made a career on YouTube about how they run their whole life out of Notion. But like Rose, I don't like the data model. I don't like that you have to be online for it to work. I am a Notion enthusiast, but just for collaborative projects that I have to do with other people. I mean, we're reading this outline out of Notion right now. And I would say Notion is much better at two of us making a podcast outline than Obsidian is. You got to kind of choose the right tool for the right job. And I don't really see Notion as a particularly good PKM tool, but that's just, it's my opinion. I know other people would disagree.
Yeah, there's I think, you know, a lot of the stuff kind of probably started with MVAlt and what's now the replacement MVUltra, which is from Brett Terpstra. It's MVUltra, to be clear, is still in private beta. So you can sign up. I'll put a link to the website there. But, you know, that's where the kind of idea of just save Markdown files, look at Markdown files to find information. Ta-da. like, and or at least that for me is where that originated. And for me, that has expanded over time to include more than just Markdown files. You know, I've got PDFs saved in there. I've got images saved in there. I've got code files saved in there as references of how to do this thing or that thing, because they're things that I will need to essentially use more or less as a template for other things. And, you know, personal knowledge management is really basically, I'm putting this here so that I can find it when I need it again. And it's more about the, or not more about, it's about the structure and the ability to find the information that you want, rather than necessarily, you know, that everything is perfectly, you know, typeset and laid out and so on. You know, file structures and folder structures are a really great idea, but you don't have to make them complicated and so on to find them, as long as you can to put your notes in, as long as you can find your notes or whatever it is that you're looking for when you need it. You're winning, which, you know, I think that was another thing for me where I was there trying to figure out, you know, like, what folders do I need and like, how am I going to structure things? And then I decided, you know what, I'm going to forget all of that and I'm just going to dump everything in a folder. And I started literally by just dumping a whole bunch of Markdown files in a single folder. And I realized, okay, well, these five files very clearly belong together and under this heading. And so I grouped them together under that heading and put them in a folder. And that, and from there, I just kind of let my structure evolve organically, which for me works much better than sitting down in advance and trying to figure out, you know, like 80 levels deep of where does this need to go and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Well, one of the other leaders in this is Nick Milo with Linking Your Thinking, which is a course he's been teaching for years about how to use these tools to kind of develop thought. And that really does open up kind of the question of PKM versus thinking tools. And that's just a term I use. I don't know if that's a thing anybody else uses, but I do think there's a difference. Like getting back to the example earlier of planning your PhD, that's different than planning, you know, your veterinary visit or changing your router. And I would argue that you should think about them separately. Now, they could all be in one tool, but maybe they shouldn't.
Yeah. And I think that is, you know, that's where you kind of have to figure out where the lines get drawn. You know, do you mind that work and personal things are in the same system together, or do you actually want them separated? So I personally tend to use Obsidian for most of the, like, the notes that I have. Other things will live in DevonThink, and we'll come back to that. But I have two Obsidian vaults. I also have two DevonThink vaults. But drafts, I could have two separate iCloud accounts, but that gets very messy very quickly, because then you have to try and transfer stuff from one to the other. So I just have everything in drafts, and I use tags for anything that I need to separate out until it then goes off to live in the right place. If it's a thing that is going to live on, if it's not, then I don't necessarily put it there. And you have to figure out, you know, where do you want the dividing lines? Do you want your dividing lines to be very clearly, strictly between projects, just between areas of your life? Or do you really not mind? And is everything kind of messy and blurry together anyway? Because, I mean, at least for me, there is some stuff from work that bleeds over into personal, because little snippets of code that I've written, you know, like a little command or series of commands that I use for work, I might want that for personal as well. So I have to figure out a place where I can put that, where I can access it for both. And that's something that, you know, is worth bearing in mind. If that's, well, you just have to figure out where you want your lines, if you want lines.
Yeah. It's been an evolution for me too. When I first started with Obsidian, I was an early adopter. It's a great app. You're going to, if you spend any time with it, there's so many people that get hooked on Obsidian. But I did everything in it in my vault. And then I started to see downsides to that. I didn't like kind of like, I keep using the veterinary note, but that's a good example. I didn't like that being mixed in with my thoughts on justice, you know, because I've got like what I call kind of Sparky OS, the deep thought kind of stuff, my personal operating system in there. But I also had the projects I was doing, whether it's the next field guide or the next podcast or whatever, in there as well. Well, now, over the course of years, that has evolved a bit. I have pulled out the personal, what I would call PKM, the kind of true PKM, like the vet notes and the picture of the audio interface, that's all in Apple Notes now. And it's very easy for me to understand the personal stuff and things like that go in Apple Notes. And at the same time, I've evolved to where the teams I'm on are largely using Notion. So it didn't make sense to have a Max Sparky field guide project in both Obsidian and Notion, because then you've got the risk that the data is going to be inconsistent, and you know the other person isn't going to see what you're updating in Obsidian. So a lot of the Max Sparky management has gone into Notion, mm-hmm. and Obsidian has remained as like my serious thought tool. You know, the thing I put when I read things that are serious, and whether it's me thinking about something I want to write in the future, or like deeper thoughts about productivity, and just like all this stuff that like serious thoughts, I guess I'll say, you know, and it's where I put my book notes, you know, because I have Readwise feed me book notes. And so it's kind of where I do my heavy thinking, but I have ended up with three tools in essence. And I'm not still exactly sure about the balance of the Max Sparky stuff. Like, do I put it all in Notion? I'm not really sure I like that, but because I'm not as big of a fan of Notion as I am of something that's local with markdown files like Obsidian. But I'm evolving a bit on it, but I have really kind of got to three buckets where I used to have just one.
Yeah, I'm still very much in a three bucket sort of system. I have drafts, and drafts is essentially for things that are not going to live for very long. So, for example, I pick up a user story at work. That would be something like a new feature to implement. And as I'm going on with that, I'll make notes about it in drafts and so on. But then once that thing is done and it's delivered and the testers have stopped throwing it back at me, because of course that happens, then that note just gets deleted and that's it. It's gone. And so, you know, there's some things that are in drafts, and then Obsidian is for stuff that is going to basically just live for a long time, but I wrote it myself and I'm going to continue to edit it. It's a living, breathing, but living with, you know, the intention of being a bit more than, you know, just a flower that will disappear relatively soon document. And then DevonThink is for this is a thing, it exists. It's almost certainly not going to change. There probably are things in DevonThink that should change, but things like my washing machine manual. And if I have a link to a web page from Obsidian, I have been bitten relatively recently, actually, by a web page that I had linked to in Obsidian for reference, no longer existing. So I now save any web pages that I would like to reference into DevonThink. I also submit them to the Wayback Machine over archive.org as well. But then I'm starting to link to the DevonThink version of the web page for those things, so that when I go to come back to it and I look at the thing that I said, hey, this is a good reference for how this works, then I don't get bitten by this website no longer exists, or they've changed everything and the link doesn't work anymore. So I have three buckets, but it's more for me the lifespan of the document versus and the editability of it versus, you know, areas of my life.
Yeah, I'm going to put a pin in drafts because I want to talk about that in a minute. But the I should have mentioned, I also, there is a matching DevonThink database to match my Obsidian one. And there's just one of each that I don't have multiples, but they're all cross-linked because although you can put resource files into your Obsidian vault, because of the nature of the application, syncing becomes, I think, a problem if you get too much in there. And I, you know, DevonThink is just so good at managing like PDFs and anything other than text, really, that I just have kind of married the two, and I use the best features of both of them. So the Obsidian Vault has many, many links to documents that are stored in the DevonThink and vice versa. In fact, the other thing I do is I index the Obsidian Vault, because it's a folder full of markdown files, in DevonThink, so I can access it there if I want. It doesn't get you all the Obsidian bells and whistles, but I've found it's fine if I really need it. But generally, text for me is Obsidian, and everything else is DevonThink for that part of my stack.
Yeah, being able to index your vault of text files in DevonThink is it's a really nice thing to be able to do. I personally have not done that just because I've not yet found a case where I've been searching for DevonThink and then realized that it was in Obsidian. But that is absolutely something that you could do if you wanted to. I've not found a need for that just yet. And I'm trying to keep all of these places as lean as possible. So not adding or duplicating information. Now, in this case, because it would be reading the folder that I have for Obsidian, you know, there wouldn't be a potential case for I've updated this in Obsidian, but the updated version isn't yet in DevonThink. That shouldn't happen because DevonThink's just on my Mac. It's always running. But yeah, the last thing I want with any of my systems is to have duplicate information, which means that if information goes from, say, Drafts into Obsidian or into DevonThink or something, then I delete it from Drafts. And if I put something from Obsidian into DevonThink, I delete it from Obsidian. You know, if I move it, then it is moving. It is not a copy. And that's something that I try to be really careful of, because there's nothing worse than looking at a note that you've made for yourself that explains how the thing works. And then you're looking at it and going, but it doesn't work. I don't understand. Only to find out, oh, right. The reason why it doesn't work is because this is the old version. I need the new version, you know, __final__.
This episode of the Automators Podcast is brought to you by the Data Citizens Dialogues Podcast, unpacking the importance of data and its impact on the world. As a listener of the Automators, you're probably serious about data. So assuming you are interested in data, especially about the way it continues to shape our world, you need to check out the Data Citizens Dialogues, a forward-thinking show brought to you by the folks at Calibra, the leader in data intelligence. I really like the way this show is structured. They bring in experts from the field, and they're interviewed by people who have specific knowledge of what they're talking about. So it's a very informative show. You'll hear firsthand from industry titans, innovators, and executives from some of the world's largest companies as they dive into the hottest topics in data. And you'll get insight to everything from popular staples such as AI governance and data sharing down to more nuanced questions, like how do we ensure data readability at a global scale. I recently listened to the September 2024 episode called Metadata Magic, The Path to Data Enlightenment. In it, host Karen and guest Tanya talked a lot about metadata management and how it can help empower the organization. Rose and I often talk about the importance of metadata with automation. That's also true in big data, perhaps even more so. Tanya shared the program's mission to democratize data, the importance of stakeholder management, and the role of continuous improvisation in maintaining the program's success. Getting a metadata repository started early can make all the difference down the road as you work with big data. I'm not an expert in the field, but the podcast really brought me right along. I felt like I understood everything they were talking about, and I had a better understanding of the use of metadata in these large data implementations. While data may be shaping our world, Data Citizens Dialogues is shaping the conversation. Follow the Data Citizens Dialogues on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Our thanks to Data Citizens Dialogues for their support of the Automators Podcast and all of Relay. Yeah, okay, let me just talk about Drafts then. I use it similar. To me, Drafts is the catch-all for all of these things. And let's get into the automation discussion in general, because, okay, I think we've both explained why we like PKMs and why they're useful, but automation can make it so much more useful, because the downside of a PKM system is the generation of it. Like, how do you create this data? How much time do you spend on it? You know, it's great that you can access it, but you have to put it in there for that to exist. And that's where automation can really come in handy. And for me, Drafts is kind of, like I said, the catch-all. This morning I had a doctor appointment, and as I'm walking out, I sat down on a bench, opened up Drafts, and dictated a quick note. And now it's in Drafts. And that, for me, is the type of information that goes into an Apple note on medical notes. It doesn't go into Obsidian, but it was in Drafts, and I could have gone straight into Apple Notes, but you know, it's kind of like fiddly with formatting and getting it in the right place. And Drafts is the catch-all. It's like, it's so fast to capture something in Drafts that's why I use it. And, you know, going further down the road, you can put a widget on your screen. There's a million ways you can make it even faster. And I just find that really useful. And then part of my routine is just to go through the Drafts inbox. I mean, we've talked, another thing I do is I use my Apple Watch and I dictate into Whisper Memos, which automatically sends anything I say to drafts. So I just go to drafts and that stuff is there. But just like Rose, I don't use drafts as an entire text management system, although you can. Greg has made it very powerful. A lot of people do that. Mm-hmm. To me, it's a halfway house. You know, I mean, the text is going to go somewhere. It might go into Obsidian. It might go into Notes. It might go into a Notion outline. It might go into an email. You know, there's all these different things you can do with it from there. But I find there's no faster way to capture text that I may want to drop into, among other things, a PKM system.
Yeah, and I think that is, you know, for me, the point where any and all automation needs to start. I need to be able to capture information as quickly and as easily as possible, which means that if it is anything text-based, anything at all that's text-based, I am going to be starting almost certainly in drafts. Every so often, you know, I might be like, okay, well, there's going to be a whole bunch of information. This is going to live in Obsidian. I might start by creating a new document in Obsidian. But usually I will start in drafts and get all the things out of my head. And then from there, you know, I'll massage it a little bit perhaps first, or maybe I'll just be like, okay, well, I've got the information out of my head. I've got the things that I was trying to capture. Cool. Send this over to Obsidian, figure out how I'm going to name it, where I'm going to put it, and so on and so forth, and then go from there. And yeah, I tend to just start in drafts because the dictation on it is so good. And it also, which can be quite useful actually sometimes, I've found every so often, David, I've left a note to myself in drafts. Okay. And I've written something down, or I've dictated something, but something somewhere along the way went a little awry. Not sure exactly what, not sure exactly how, but like there's a word missing. Or maybe when I was dictating, something got, you know, transposed. So a word that should have been this ended up being that. And it doesn't quite make sense. Being able to look in drafts, like when you created this and where you created this, so you've got that location history, you would not believe how often that has actually helped me. So, you know, drafts for capture for me has been incredibly useful. So, yeah, I do love drafts as a capture system. And, you know, it does have the options to use backlinks and all of those other things as well, which are all in the user guide for drafts. And I can pop a link to that in the show notes, because you can use it as a personal knowledge management system. But for me, from there, I do tend to go to Obsidian, just because it, as amazing as drafts is for automating, I like having the ephemeral in drafts and the more permanent, not permanent, but more permanent things in Obsidian, just so that there's a nice mental divide.
Yeah. And so let's talk about that capture to Obsidian. And I'm going to also say NotePlan, because it's another app that just looks at a folder full of markdown files on your drive. That makes it very handy for automation, because any automation tool we talk about in the show, from AppleScript to shortcuts to Keyboard Maestro to, you know, almost any automation you can think of can write a text file and save it on your drive. And that's true on almost every platform. And so you've got this great opportunity now to automate the generation of notes in these tools, because all you have to do is create a text file and it's there. You don't have to monkey around with the interface. These apps have like built-in tag systems and all sorts of cool stuff. I mean, Obsidian is Markdown, but it also has additional syntax, which can be easily written into this text file, whether it's your front matter or your links or whatever. So I have written many automations over the years where, like, if I have a new project, I can just push a button and shortcut / Keyboard Maestro / whatever can generate that text file and just save it on my drive to the Obsidian folder in the appropriate vault, in the appropriate folder, and it's just there waiting for me. And that makes it so easy to capture and create stuff.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that is, you know, that is always the key with a personal knowledge management system. It has to be easy to get stuff in, and it has to be easy to find stuff when you need it. Because if you are looking for something and you cannot find it, and you know you wrote it, or you know you've stored this information. So say, for example, I'm looking for my washing machine manual, and I know I've saved it, but I can't find it, that's a problem, because then I have to try and find the washing machine manual again online, which depending on the age of the device and so on, may not be possible, and so on and so forth. You know, there's a reason why we save this information or why we want to save this information. So being able to find it is really important, but being able to capture it quickly and then easily, you know, modify it, edit it, and so on is also really, really key.
Yeah. So I think that one of the big selling points of a tool like Obsidian and to a lesser extent Noteplan is just the ubiquity of automation, because it's just so easy. Like, and the same goes for attachments, by the way. Like I said earlier, I like to keep PDFs in DevonThink, but you could also just move a PDF to a folder in your Obsidian databank and it's gonna show up. But I prefer to do that with DevonThink. But it's really easy to automate this stuff. One tip, however, is always make sure you save the file extension consistent with the way the application is looking for. By default, Obsidian is looking for markdown files, so you need to save it as .md. I think Noteplan is .txt, but you can change it in the settings. But I mean, when people start automating this, I've got those emails saying, "Oh, you had a great idea. I created automation, but the files aren't showing up in the app." And 9 times out of 10, it's because they saved it as the wrong extension type. So just make sure, and you can do this in Shortcuts, Keyboard Maestro, whatever, to change the extension to .md to make sure it actually shows up.
Yeah, there are a couple of settings which can be quite useful to have a little look at inside of Obsidian. And there is one of them, for example, for making sure that all files show up regardless of the file type. And that is one of the options. So detect all file extensions is the name of that preference. And it's under files and links, because that can be quite useful, especially if you're using attachments. Because while Obsidian is a markdown editor, it does support attachments. So you can have images and PDFs and so on embedded in your files. And that's something that you can do. And there's also a default location for new attachments. So you can say, hey, I would like to just put everything, all the attachments should be in a Vault folder, or everything should be in a particular folder just called attachments, or everything should go into the same file as the note that it's going in, or it should go into a subfolder under the current folder. And those options are all, you know, worth having a think about and deciding what works for you. If you're somebody that tends to restructure things a lot just because that's, you know, you haven't yet figured out your system and so on, then one of those may suit you better than another. Or if you're somebody that has a lot of attachments, maybe you don't want everything in, you know, the same folder, because that'll make it difficult to find, you know, that one image that you know you're looking for or something, that you should be able to find it hopefully through the note. So yeah, there's all those things. And of course, there's also an option to make sure that all of the files in your Vault get synced as well, because by default, it will sync images, audio, videos, and PDFs, but it wouldn't sync anything else. So if, like me, you throw the odd code file into Obsidian because you want to reference, you know, a piece of code that you wrote again and again, then you will need to make sure that that is on. And so, yeah, that can be quite handy.
Shortcuts, it's a mixed bag. It is not a thing where you can just write a text file to your drive and it's going to show up. But they have good automation support, so via Shortcuts. So, I'm sorry, I misspoke. Did I say Shortcuts?
That you did, but that's okay, because Shortcuts Apple support. Notes, yeah. Apple Notes does have great Shortcut support, which is great. It is possibly one of the best actions on iOS for Shortcut support, as far as you know, Apple's native applications go. Which, you know, is very impressive. There are so many actions there, you know, for finding things, for creating things, for adding to existing notes as well, appending to an existing note. That's all stuff that can be done via Shortcuts. And that's a very impressive place. And, you know, I'm honestly really pleased with that. And I wish Apple Notes worked a little better with my brain. I prefer just to write Markdown and not necessarily have the rich text. And so on. And also, I embed a lot of code into my notes. It's just a hazard of my day job and everything else that I do, that code is such a big part of my life. But I need something with code syntax highlighting support. So yeah. Unfortunately, Apple Notes doesn't quite work for me. But the Shortcut support is genuinely brilliant. So that should not be considered a blocker for anybody that's looking at using Apple Notes.
Although I will say it's not as good in some ways, because although it's rich text, it doesn't really let you generate rich text via the Shortcut automation, because you create a text field But if you want there to be checkboxes and headings and things like that, they just don't show up. I mean, you know, I've tried so many ways around this to write rich text, mm-hmm. and there's just not a good way to do it. Like try to convert Markdown to rich text and then import it, and it doesn't work. I feel like there's a missing element there with Apple Notes and Shortcuts.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, the problem is very fundamentally that Shortcuts, you know, text support is for plain text. It's not for Markdown. And I'm pretty certain that what happens with Notes is if you have like an add to note or a append to note action, it takes, you know, it takes either like text or something akin to that. So yeah, I've just double checked the append to note action adds text to the end of the note. Yeah. So I'm pretty certain that what happens is when it receives the text, it's just stripping out any formatting because it may not even receive the rich text. It probably just receives plain text because fun fact for anybody who doesn't know, if you've got rich text that's got like bold and colors and things like that, there's also like a plain text version of that almost always. And so what Shortcuts will almost certainly be doing is going, okay, well, you're trying to give it the fancy text version, but it doesn't take fancy text. So I'm going to give it the plain text version, which, you know, at least it doesn't just drop it on the floor and be like, I did nothing. Bye. But it would be nice if it actually could take the rich text. But unfortunately, and I don't know if this is a limit of Shortcuts or if this is a limit of Notes. I'm pretty certain that that is just something that can't be done via Shortcuts at the moment, which is a shame.
Yeah, another limitation you pointed out is append and prepend. You can put text at the beginning or text at the end, but you cannot put it in the middle. Whereas with Obsidian, mm-hmm. Noteplan, most of these more powerful tools, there's a way to address to say, add this text under a specific heading.
Yeah.
And that is more useful for automators. And so I pay a price for putting the veterinary and some of that stuff in Apple Notes, but I kind of want to use them. My reasoning is a few things. First of all, Apple Notes does continue to get better and I want to use them so I can talk about them. But also there is a convenience to them because they're very good at media, you know, rich media. Like if I take a picture of the dip switches, it's going to show up there. I know reliably, and there are advantages to it, but the automation is limited because of text formatting and the inability to put text exactly in the document where you want the automation, which is kind of what brings me back to Drafts. You know, Drafts is always my cheat code and I can put it in Drafts and then I can move it into Apple Notes. It's a manual process, but it's fine. And I don't do so much of this that I like sit around all day doing this stuff. But the occasional, you know, I got back from the doctor appointment. I moved the text where it belonged in the right Apple note and, you know, it just took a minute. So it's fine. But that's something you have to deal with as you make these decisions.
Yeah. And I think that is, you know, it's always something to, you know, remember or at least be aware of. You know, you don't have to start with any perfect system and you can always modify your system, you know, whenever you want, you know, and change things up and so on and so forth. But, you know, there is no perfect system. And I think that is whenever you're setting up any kind of system, be it an automation system, personal knowledge management system, whatever it is, perfect systems are, you know, they're a goal. They are not something that is necessarily achievable. And so, yeah, there will always be a trade-off for these things, right? But at least, for example, you can put stuff into Notes and you can put stuff into whatever system it is you like. And, you know, putting things in Obsidian, again, not perfect because Obsidian itself doesn't have Shortcuts actions. It's got URL schemes.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a little tricky. And they've got documentation on it and it works and there's draft sections and so on as well. But for me, you know, I've ended up finding there's a lovely app, called Actions for Obsidian, which exists basically to put Shortcuts actions for Obsidian into Shortcuts. And it's got a free 14-day trial and then a one-time payment. But it creates actions for Obsidian, and there's 50 of them. And that's really nice because you can do things like getting periodic notes, like a note for a particular day or just listing files and all of that stuff. But again, that's not something that you can just do natively with Obsidian. You have to add something on. And yeah, there is no perfect system.
Yeah. Although Obsidian also has plugins built around making that process easier too. So there's a whole lot to it. And like, and I don't really want to get this into a comparison or anything, but like Apple Notes is better on iPhone than Obsidian is. But Obsidian is easier to automate into. And it, like you were saying, there's just trade-offs. So kind of choose your poison and think about what you're using it for. Like one of my thoughts was, if I'm at the doctor or the veterinarian or whatever, what's the easiest way to get access to this data if I'm asked for it? And having it in Apple Notes to me is a big benefit for that, you know? Whereas like, I'm not going to tell the doctor, oh, hold on a second, my Obsidian database hasn't synced in a month and I need, you know, you just don't want to deal with that. And so y'all, you know, you just pick where you want, but then use the automation tools available to you and the tools you have. And the good news is all of these tools have some degree of automation involved.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like Devin, think, you know, it's a bigger application. It's kind of the way I think of it. You know, you've got little applications like Drafts. And I say that Drafts is a sneaky one because it looks little and really simple, but actually if you like, it's, if you go around the corner, you're like, oh wow, there's so much here. So it's not just little and simple. And then Obsidian is kind of a medium one of, it can do a whole chunk, and then you've got all the plugins and the add-ons and so on to make it even cooler. And then Devin thing for me is like, it's there, and it's got the muscle, it's got the heft, and it's there like, I'm here, what do you need me for? And it's got all the power and so on. And it's got great shortcut support. I have to say, you know, you can create markdown items specifically in it. You can create text items, images, PDFs, and all of that straight from shortcuts. And that is, you know, something that's really awesome. But at the same time, it's got this whole big database to it. It's not just text files in, you know, on your operating system. Like it is just text files on your operating system. But please, if you're actually putting the files in DevonThink and you're not indexing a folder, don't mess with those. That's when things start going wrong.
That's bad.
But, you know, there's trade-offs and wins and everything for all of these things. And I do love that in Obsidian, I can say like, hey, like I want to keep this group available offline, but still, if I've not opened Obsidian in a month because I didn't think about it, and then I'm sitting, well, in your case, you're sitting at the vet's office and you're there like, okay, now I haven't synced this in a month. I'll open it now. Oh, great. There's, you know, I've got like one spot of 3G. And it's not downloading because I added, you know, a whole bunch of scans of recent dog medical records into this. And so it's trying to download all of those and so on. That can be a little bit annoying or frustrating when that happens. And that's not DevonThink's fault. That, you know, that's just how things work. If you're trying to download a whole bunch of files on a slow internet connection, it's tricky. But if you've just got, you know, that one thing that you need to be able to access regularly for your dog, that goes in Apple Notes, and maybe the scans of, you know, previous things that could still live in DevonThink because that's a better place for it. But you just have to find the system that works for you.
All right. Well, you've moved us into an interesting topic of retrieving and linking the information because we do use automation to populate these things, but is automation an option for getting access to the data?
Yeah. And that is the thing, right? How do you find something when you need it later? And part of this is, you know, making sure things have good titles that could either be file names or just a title at the top of the document and so on. And tags can be useful here as well so that you can find things. It's basically put keywords on things so that when you look for those later or you look for different keywords, you find them. And that to me is like the first starting point because I have to think, you know, current me thinks this is the information that I need to retrieve this. Okay. Now go away, grab a glass of water, take out the recycling or something, come back. Okay, now 5 minutes later me, what other words are useful for this so that I can remember this? And what other information do I need to link to this? Because that is the other thing, you know, what information belongs together? Putting like information in a similar place or cross-linking things and so on, that's all quite important. You know, if you want to be able to go from here to here and back again, then, you know, linking things together is very, very important.
Yeah, and it really is a payoff in a lot of ways because these tools are excellent at linking. A lot of them allow you to create internal links inside their database that lets you jump between notes with just a tap. The double bracket is generally the syntax for that. Obsidian uses it, Rome uses it, Noteplan. So you can jump around within the document, but also these tools are excellent at creating URL links into the specific document from outside the application. So then you can drop that link into DevonThink or OmniFocus or whatever, and then link straight into that data. And again, that gets you there so quickly, which is what we're looking for.
Yes. And I think that is, you know, that is the thing. You want it to be fast. Okay. If you're looking for information, it shouldn't be faster to go do a DuckDuckGo search or a Google search or whatever it is to find that information than it is to look it up in your personal knowledge management system. Because if it's taking you longer to find it, you know, the same way that you had to go through to find the information originally, have you gained anything? Possibly not. Maybe you have because you've added your own notes and so on to it, but ideally it should be really fast to look up and find. And that for me is, you know, the thing that I always try to remember. So I too tend to have just an area at the bottom of my notes, David, and this might sound really crazy, but this is just like search term dump. And like sometimes I will know that, hey, this particular thing here, like I'll find it because the problem that I'm searching for is called this or something. And I'll just have like a little section at the bottom where I note down like things that might cause me to look for this, which then in turn if means that if I search for a particular error that I know I've encountered before and I have a good way of fixing it in my personal knowledge management system, I will find it and ta-da, done.
Yeah. Yeah. And these power tools that we're talking about just have so many things to do. There's like so many plugins for Obsidian that make it easier to search and find data. And to a lesser extent, NotePlan. For even Apple Notes, like there's ways to search it faster. I use an Alfred plugin where I just trigger Alfred and type in space, and then it just searches the Apple Notes titles so I can get to what I need very quickly. But yeah, bring automation to bear in finding the data as well as creating it.
Yes, and I think that is, you know, something that is worth remembering. You know, Hookmark is great for creating notes or for creating links for things and so on as well, so that you can cross-link things. But I do try to mostly think about, okay, well, I'm using Obsidian, I'm using DevonThink. Both of those have notes, URLs for all of the things that are in them, so I can just link that somewhere else. Yeah. So if I have a particular setup, for example, for running the cleaning cycle on my washing machine, then, you know, I can actually... You know, I can put that in Obsidian because that's a living, breathing document, and I can link to the PDF of my washing machine manual in DevonThink, and from one to the other, I just tap and ta-da, that's it.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's all about the linking.
Absolutely.
Any other stuff you're doing? I you had a note in here about Obsidian's data view and data review. How are you using those two together?
Yeah, so DataView is just really nice for, you know, creating a visual representation of, or like pulling information out of things. So say, for example, you decide that you want to store project templates or project information and big tasks and so on in Obsidian, then DataView can grab tasks out of things. Yeah. Or it can make a pretty list of notes organized by data that you've put in it. Or it can create a visual version of those things as well, you know, like pulling that information out. And it's very nice for that sort of thing. It's definitely a more advanced way of handling your data in Obsidian. But for me, that can be really nice. And I've used this, for example, so my network stuff, I started with the note for my router, and then I realized that, or for the ISP router, and then I realized that, you know, the other router I've also done some things on, so I created a note for that, and so router 1 connects to router 2, and then router 2, well, it connects to a whole bunch of other things, but sometimes it's useful to know, like, the MAC address of the devices, which IP address I have assigned to it, and so on and so forth, and so I started creating notes for these other ones, and then I used DataView to link it all together, because it was possible to do that. And yeah, it's just quite nice to have that as a possibility with Obsidian. And it's not necessarily something you need. If you want just diagrams in Obsidian, then it does have support for mermaid diagrams, which are very pretty and text-based and quite simple to create. But, you know, it's just, yeah, the DataView is very, very nice to have as an enhancement if you're looking for it. But you don't have to. go all that nerdy with these things. You know, it's a possibility, but it's not a requirement. And I would say with all of these things, wait until you have a need for the thing before you find a way to solve that problem in whatever system you're using. Because otherwise, if you start with, well, I need diagrams and I need to be able to like pull out a list of tasks and so on, but you never put tasks in there, then, you know, you don't need a way to pull out a list of tasks until you have a list of tasks that you need to pull out and you can't easily just find it quickly with a search.
Yeah, and I think people can get intimidated with a tool like Obsidian to say, well, I've got all these files in here. How do I surface what I want? And DataView is the answer to that. Like, you can create, in essence, smart files or smart folders or smart groupings and, you know, tag-based tables of outstanding projects or whatever it is you want to do. It really is very flexible. But finding your way to your PKM data via automation is very useful. I keep coming back to Apple Notes because I've got it also running, and it is a challenge because getting to things aren't as easy. Like, you can get a URL link to an Apple Note out, but again, I'm using that Alfred plugin to pull that off, and it's not easy. Like, whereas these other apps make it so easy. So, like, I was thinking, wouldn't it be nice for the hypothetical vet appointment if I had a link to the appropriate note in the calendar event, right? So I could just pull it up while sitting there. Well, I could do that very fast in Obsidian / Rome / NotePlan / most of the things we're talking about here. But it takes a little extra work on Apple Notes. And frankly, to do it on the iPhone, it's even more work because I don't have an Alfred plugin. I've got to kind of go through the mechanics of sharing the note, but then not share it, but then that generates the URL. I mean, Apple doesn't make it as easy as some of these other tools.
Yeah, and I think that is one of the things, like, again, you could do it via shortcuts where you, you know, you grab the note and then you use the get link to, which works for shortcuts. I'm pretty certain it works for notes as well, which, like, it generates the sharing link and then, you know, gives it to you so you can copy it. But still, that's a whole bunch of extra steps and, you know, that's not necessarily worth it. But for something like the vet note for your dog, that note can now also be shared with your wife because it's in notes.
Yeah.
And that's something that your wife will immediately get. She'll understand it. There doesn't need to be an explanation of what this is and why it's important and how it works and so on and so forth. It's just, here's a note about the dog and all the previous vet visits because I have to go do a thing and you're taking the dog to the vet today. And that's it.
That happened to me. I was out of town on business and the dog got sick. And so the kids were going to take the dog to the vet and I shared that Apple note and they had everything I did, you know, with very easy, you know. So yeah, it is an interesting time with PKM. There's lots of ways to create the data, to share the data. I think the platform you pick is going to definitely impact what kind of automation you do. But if you bring an open mind to it, I think all of the tools we've talked about have automation options. And if you're intimidated by the idea of PKM, you know, put some automation behind it and it gets a lot easier.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, automation is a really great tool for PKM because it can allow you to quickly grab things and so on as well. One little thing I will actually mention, David, because this is something I use all the time and I forgot about it until literally just now, is a URL linker on the Mac app store. It allows me to like right click on a page and copy a markdown link to that page from Safari, or I can select text and I can, I can link that and it will copy that as well. And that is just a really nice, useful, it's a free little tool. And that is the sort of automation that is really nice and easy to start with. URL linker for Safari specifically supports adding like a whole bunch of different formats to your right click menu. So, you know, if you have a company wiki that has like a particular syntax for links, then you could have that in Safari as well. So you can right click and copy for wiki, copy for PKM, whatever it is you want. Copy as markdown link, you know, whatever you like. But that is, you know, that's the sort of place where it's really easy to get started with a foothold of these things. And then later you can go on to figuring out like an automatic way to add tags to certain kinds of notes or to funnel these notes over here into your work PKM versus your personal PKM and so on. But starting start simple and then grow from there is definitely what I'd say for this, because a PKM is only as good as the data inside of it. And if you just junk it up with a lot of useless data that you never want to come back to and you never want to organize, then it's not going to be an amazing system for you. So yeah, start small and work your way up.
Yeah, and that kind of explains our own evolutions, because my original Obsidian hold everything was great until it wasn't, because I don't want the veterinary stuff showing up in a search for the other stuff I do in that database. And like, you just kind of know when it's time to split these things out.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we are the Automators Podcast. You can find us at relay.fm/automators. We are going to have an Automators Max episode today for the folks that are our subscribers. Automators Max subscribers get the ad-free extended version of the show. We're going to be talking about artificial intelligence and automation of voice to text in that today. As we mentioned, we only have one episode left of the Automators. We're ending our run, sadly, but with what we feel like a good body of episodes in the archive here. If you are an Automators Max subscriber and you have questions about it, you can transfer that subscription to another show, or I think they even have a refund system. Let Relay know. You should have got an email, so that should be handled. But if you have any problems, let us know as well. We'll make sure you get handled. And otherwise, we will see you next time.
Goodbye, folks.